just going to pray for Elaine before she comes and speaks. Lord, I just thank you for Elaine. I thank you for her passion and her love for you. And I just pray that as she comes to share what you've really put on her heart, Lord, that you will just give her confidence and boldness to speak it out. Lord, I pray that we will just hear your words with an open heart and an open mind, and Lord, that we can really just reflect on them. I just thank you for the blessing she is in so many people's lives, and the blessing she'll be tonight. Amen.
Amen. So, for those of you who don't know me, my name's Elaine, and I thought before I brought to you the word that I feel that God laid on my heart to share with you tonight, I'd just explain to you kind of how I find myself to be here. I went to the Poly, Newcastle Poly, so as you all know, that already puts a certain age to me because there are no polytechnics now. There's just universities. So I went to the University of Northumbria, but in those days it was called Newcastle Poly. And I went to study the creative arts, and I majored in drama. And when I left, I started a theatre company with my partner, who's still my partner, Ozzy. And we had a theatre company for probably nearly 30 years. And we began with nothing. And as we became more successful, so we received Arts Council grants, and we took a show to Broadway. And, yeah, we seemed to ride a wave of success in one way. But I always had a sadness in my heart that it wasn't really about God. Because Ozzy, though he has a faith, it's not a Christian faith as yet, because I pray for him every day, and I think I notice things beginning to change. And so that was the sadness in me. And to cut a long story short, in the last lot of cuts of the Arts Council, we were up to be either cut or saved. And I remember praying about it a lot. And the day that we knew whether we would be cut, I was in the shower, and I was reminded when Dawn shared tonight about the faithfulness of God. I remember standing there in the shower thinking, well, I wonder what's going to happen. And into my head came a really favourite hymn of my nan's, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And I just knew then that it didn't matter whether we were cut or saved, because God was going to be faithful to me as he always has been, even when I've not always walked that closely with him. And sure enough, he was faithful. We were cut, but it was a blessing, because out of that, Ozzy decided it was all really too stressful for him anyway. And he thought he probably should turn to something else anyway. And I see in him now that that was a really good thing, and probably if he'd have carried on doing the big shows that we did, he probably wouldn't be alive. And as it is, he is. And I felt free to combine the two things that I love, which is performing and walking with God. And so through things like the youth work here, like the holiday club, I felt I can bring something to that. And then, like, when Phil shared tonight, that was really great for me, because Open the Book is another thing that I'm really passionate about, and I feel God really working in that. So that's how I'm here, except there's another bit of the jigsaw, as there always is with God, which is that last summer I did some of a pilgrimage called the Camino, and while I was walking it, I could really feel God saying to me, I want you to be a messenger of hope. I was thinking, a messenger of hope, what's that going to look like? And when I came back to church after the summer, there was an announcement that a course was going to be run for people who felt that they might like to explore what it would be like to speak publicly, to become a preacher for whatever that meant to them. And I really felt God saying, Elaine, I want you to go on that course. So, but anybody who knows me really well knows that it used to say on my school reports, a very enthusiastic starter. And so I was enthusiastic, and I remember going to Paul and saying, I'd really be interested in that. And he said, that's great, we'll be coming back to you, and just need to write, you know, half a page about why you'd like to be part of the course. And time went on, and I hadn't written it, and I didn't, and who knows why I hadn't written it. And then I began to think, oh, well, I've probably missed it now anyway. And then one Sunday, I went and said to him, because I could feel God telling me, Elaine, what are you doing? I told you to go and get involved in it, and you haven't. So I went to see Paul, and he said, oh, it's not started. We've deferred it to after Christmas. So I thought, okay, right. So I've been going, and it's great. And I said to Holly and Emma and Naomi, who also go, hats off to you for what you've done here once a month, because I think these services once a month are brilliant for us as a church family to share together about what God's doing. And they did that even before going on that course. And so on the 23rd of February, I remember it well, I got a text in the morning from Naomi saying, just wondered how you felt about giving the talk at the next sharing in March. And I have to tell you, when she said in the text, how do you feel? I would like to tell you, I felt panic. I thought, oh my, what? Oh, then I thought, never mind, it'll probably be fine. I'll look in my diary and there'll be something in the diary where I'm away, so I won't be able to do it anyway. And then before I even managed to look in my diary, I was doing my Bible reading for that morning, and there was the title, I'm Only a Boy. And when I looked, the text was from Jeremiah. And I just want to read you what it said. It was the call to Jeremiah, and it said, before I made you in your mother's womb, I chose you. Before you were born, I set you apart for a special work. And I thought, how incredible is that? That before we were even born, before we were even in our mother's womb, God had decided the work that he wanted us to do for him. And what a privilege that is for us. And of course, Jeremiah says, well, yeah, but I'm only a boy. And I had all the reasons for God why I couldn't be here now sharing this with you. But when I looked at the reasons, I knew the biggest thing I had inside me was fear that I would fail. That I would fail probably me, first of all, I thought. And then I realised that actually it's not about me. It's about God, and it's about what God would have me say for him. And so with that, I began to pray about what it might be that I'll share with you. I'd like to say that I therefore texted Naomi back that day and said, yes, of course I'll do it. I didn't do that because that's not me somehow. So I waited, and on Sunday I think I remembered avoiding Naomi in case she noticed me. And then thinking, oh, I have to, you know, I am going to do it. I know I'm going to do it. So I'll just. Then I saw at the Thursday preaching meeting, and I said, By the way, Naomi, I would love to speak in March. And even as I said it, my heart was going vroom, 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 vroom. So, this is how I find myself here. And the word that I think that God, the word that I know that God wants me to bring to you is from Romans. Because I said to Naomi, well, have you any idea, have you got a theme? Because on these evenings, I've noticed that there's often a theme, which is great. And she said, well, I thought maybe something about new life, because it being spring and moving towards Easter. But of course, that's up to you. So I thought, right, new life. And I prayed about it. And on a number of different occasions, the text that came to me was this. It's from Romans, and it's chapter 6, and it says, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Now, I don't know why I was surprised to find out that this morning was going to be a baptism service, and it was the baptismal service of Deborah, and anybody who was able to come couldn't fail to have been blessed by that. It was great to share and celebrate and to see someone go through the waters of baptism like that and to come out the other side and to profess what seems to me the fact that they're saying, I'm going to step forward into new life with Jesus. I'm going to leave behind the things that drag me back. And I'm going to move forward for him, with him. Because that's what that text from Paul is talking about. It's about recognizing, yes, that Jesus died on the cross for us, that he took all the wrong things that we've ever done, that we will ever do, that he forgives us, and that if we accept that forgiveness and give him our lives now, then he will create for us, he will give us the new life that he had planned for us before we were even made in our mother's womb. Now, even as I stand here and say that to you, I think that is just awesome, isn't it? It's just like amazing. And it's also a mystery how that happens. But it does happen. I can testify to that, and countless people in this church will also be able to testify to that. That he has a new life for us, and if we give him our lives, he will take us on that new life with him. So, yes. So, that's right. That's what I was thinking about. So, what might that new life look like? Before I got up to speak, I asked Erin if she minded me sharing something. And she said, no. What would you have done if I said I did mind? And I said, oh, well, I'd have had to have shared a story about Tilly, my other daughter, then. But as it is, this is the story I wanted to share to you, because it helps me to see, and I hope it will help you to see, what new life might be like. You see, when you hold a new baby, of course, if it's yours, it's even more incredible. But whoever's baby it is, when you see a new baby, you see all the potential in that new life. Like, minutes ago, or hours or days, however old that new baby is. That baby didn't exist in the world. And then, all of a sudden, there it is. And the world can never be the same again because that baby's here. And so because of that, it's clear to me that we have a mark to make. And that mark is about growing. And so therefore, when I think of Erin and the story I'm going to share with you, we went to a friend of ours' birthday party about 2 weeks ago, and her daughter was 21, and Erin had made a glorious cake. But a lot of the people there hadn't seen Erin for a long time. And when we came home, driving back in the car, Erin said, "Oh, everyone just kept saying, 'Erin, I didn't recognize you. How you've grown. You look so different.'" I just wonder whether, when people meet us in our new life with Jesus, if they haven't seen us for a while, do they think, "Wow, I didn't recognize them. How they've grown." They know it's us, just like those people in the room knew it was Erin, but they couldn't believe the change that had happened. So that's one thing that I think newness of life has to be about. It has to be about growth, and it has to be about change. And I suppose thinking about springtime now, it's like everywhere you look, new life is beginning to happen. And you can't stop it. If you're a gardener and you mow your lawn or cut your hedge or weed the border, you'll know that soon, and it's beginning now, you've only got to turn your back and it's all bursting out behind you. You only seem to mow the lawn the other day and it needs mowing again. You only just trim the hedge and it needs trimming. New buds are shooting forth, new leaves are unfurling, blossoms coming. It's just a time. It's like everything's pulsating with green energy. And that's what God wants for us. He wants us to be like vibrating with that new energy, with that new life that we all have. It's unstoppable. You can't stop spring coming. You can't stop everything growing. It just takes over. And it makes a difference. And that's what God wants for all of us. He wants us to make a difference. When we've been sharing the Open the Book stories in the schools, it's a great blessing for us as the people who lead it, because it makes you look at the stories in a different way. And time after time, you see that what Jesus was about was change. He was about creating a new order of things. He wasn't about the past. Paul this morning was talking about him turning over the tables of the money changers. He didn't accept things how they were. He didn't accept what the religious leaders had to say. He was about making a change. And because of that, he went out and he healed lepers, people who were completely on the margins of society, people who other people would have walked past. He went and sat down and had a meal with. Think of Zacchaeus. He thought he was safe up in his tree, hiding from Jesus. Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, come down. I'm coming to your house for tea. I'm coming to eat with you." Because that's what the new life that Jesus wants for us all is about. It's about making a difference. And I think if you look in our society, There's so many ways that we as a church, as individuals, and also together as a family, can make a difference. So, being as it's coming to Easter, and let's say I think that this is the start of Holy Week, and it's been Palm Sunday, and we've thought about Jesus, our King, riding on a donkey, which again seems to not be in quite the correct order of things, not in the order that we might expect a king to come on a donkey, or indeed to have been born in a stable, but then that's what our Jesus is like. He changes the order of things and he creates a new order. So, as we move forward into Easter and into Holy Week, and we remember again what Jesus has done for us on the cross, and then next Easter Sunday, we remember how the tomb's empty. And didn't that film look incredible? And didn't it make you excited? And didn't you think, I'm so glad that I know that that's true? And it made me think, I have to take people who don't know that to see that film, because it was just so powerful, and it's so great that it's going to be shown. And so with that resurrection power, that's the power that we have in our new lives to go out and make a difference. And if we give our new life to Jesus like that and give it back to him, he will be faithful to us and we will go on an adventure and an incredible journey that will just be wonderful. And it might be fearful. But I was really nervous about coming to speak to you, but it's great. And it's great because Jesus is here with me, just as he's with all of us as we go about our new lives. So, that's what I'd like to urge you to do. I'd like to urge you this week, this Holy Week, what better week to get hold of your new life? And to give it back to Jesus and see where he's going to take you with it. Because it will be amazing. And I think that's all I have to say. Bless you.
I hope you found that super encouraging. I feel like every time Elaine speaks to me, I feel encouraged. I think Elaine said so many amazing things there, and I really feel like we should just spend some time reflecting on that. The things of that we, you know, we are here and it is Holy Week, and just kind of how we can make that mark with our lives. I think it would be really good if we spent some time praying, either by yourself or just with the people around you, about going out from here and going into the week, whatever that might look like in work or just kind of what you're going about doing. Just that we are those people that people say, like, I don't recognize them, they've changed, that we see something in us, that we have this energy and this new life that people want to grasp hold of and ask questions. And like Elaine said, what better chance to do that than coming up to Easter? So I just hope that we can just spend some time kind of praying. There'll be some music on in the background. And just really, yeah, just spend some time praying for people and thinking about that and how it would look if we were these people who really did grasp the new life we've been given. And if anyone feels like they're really inspired to share anything from the front, please do come and just encourage each other with that.